So that's a that seems like a key element to me. If we're talking about effective preaching, and way back in our earlier podcasts, we talked about making sure you know the subject that you're preaching about, making sure you know what response you want the people to make to what you're telling them, and how to go about that, the how-to of making that response, and then how long is it going to take before that response becomes sort of ingrained in their lives, in their walk with Christ. And is this is almost like a fifth element that says, put what you're saying into a sentence, a key sentence that describes the truth that you're trying to teach through your preaching.
Yeah, I used to add that and say, take the subject and the response and put it into a sentence. I found that that was harder for pastors, and it wasn't really necessary. It helps me, and I would say it's a great idea. So you know in a sentence it's exactly what I'm saying. It's got the subject and response in it. Basically, if a guy knows his subject or a man or a woman knows what the response, I'm happy then. If they put it in a sentence, it's helpful. If they don't, I don't worry about it. I just make it more simple. But yes, that's a big part of my life. I always put it into a sentence. In fact, you know, a lot of times you get interrupted when you're working on a sermon, Dean. And if I have that sentence with the subject and the response, you know, I may be tied up with a day and a half of stuff that I can't get back to the sermon. I can go back to the sermon and know exactly where I was going because that sentence is right there in front of me. So that's very helpful, yes. It's interesting as you do this. You've known me a long time, so you know that's a habit, and you put that in there. And I do it, yes. I don't force ministers to do it, but I think it's very helpful.
Very good. I would think some congregation members would feel unqualified to evaluate a sermon, wouldn't they?
I don't think so. I don't think they feel that way. You know, I have a friend who's a Chicago Bear fan. He thinks the Bears should fire Lovie Smith, who's the coach. He doesn't know nearly as much about football as Lovie Smith knows. Or if you're in this, you're in the Buffalo area. You know, the coach, I mean, people think they know more about football than any of the paid professionals. You know, they have all kinds of opinions. So my personal feeling is people have opinions about ministers and all the rest, and they may say, you know, I've been trained, I've been to seminary, what do I know? But if you ask them, they'll tell you exactly what they think. It's just, you know, your hope that they will be more gracious to ministers than they are to baseball managers or football coaches or whatever. People are more than willing to tell you what they think. If you ask them, give them opportunity, give them guidelines, so, you know, even your worst, I mean, Dean, let's face it. If your minister asked you and said, I would like for you to evaluate my sermons, you would say, well, that's not going to be easy because I'm a very opinionated person, and you may wish that you hadn't asked me. But if you want it, here it is. Now, I just did that for that sermon. Would you like for me to do it for next week or not? I have said to pastors, I will evaluate, you know, you're paying me as a consultant, and I will write it out for you. And then I've had ministers after a while say, I don't want you to do that anymore. And I say, you know, that's fine. It's a lot of work to evaluate. At the same time, it would help you, but, you know, some people don't want it. I'm one of those ministers who thinks the best way you keep growing is that you let people evaluate. And this is my thought on that. I think the best people to evaluate sermons are not seminary professors. I think they're the plumber, the bus driver, you know, the guy in the pew, the woman who teaches school, the nurse, whatever. Those are because they can tell you whether it's meaningful to them or not.
Yeah, it helps you evaluate whether you're connecting with them where they are. Is there any possibility of a problem? Well, let me put it this way. Once you get people into the habit of evaluating sermons, have you ever set them up for negative thinking?
I don't think I have. No, I don't think so.
Okay.
I think that I ask them for help. I value what they say. You know, I'm not a person without opinion as to my own preaching. I know what I think about my preaching. And sometimes I've had a guy, I remember his name was Don, and he would complain, and I would think, boy, I'm never going to please that guy. Then I realized there were a lot of things about Don that were just unhappy. And one day I said to him, you know, you've had a bad week, haven't you? And we talked about his week. And he never got to the evaluation of the sermon, but I got to the realization that Don was going through a rough time. And so I was able to reach out to him. But people, I mean, they may be mad at their father figure, and they take it out on you as a minister. That's fine. They're going to come from all different vantage points, but you listen and you develop a hard skin, and at the same time you say, that person knows how he or she is responding better than I know how he's responding, and it's helpful for me to hear what that person's opinion is. Now, I may be very different, but I find it valuable. And, you know, the truth is, I'm so used to it, I basically think I'm a better communicator because of it. You know what I think, Dean? Anybody who starts in ministry, they think they're the best preacher that's ever arrived on the scene since Billy Graham or whoever, you know. I don't think I'm the best preacher in the world. But I do think that I am a good communicator and consistently adequate in terms of the area of seeing people's lives change. So I've had people come up to me sometimes years later, and I had it happen just a couple of months ago. A guy said to me, I was in your church, and you said something in this sermon, and they'll recall a sermon and almost remember exactly your subject and response, and that changed my life because I did what you said, and I just want to say thank you. Well, that means all the—I mean, if they said to me, you are undoubtedly the best preacher the kingdom has ever known since the time of John the Baptist, you know, apart from Jesus, you're the very best. That's a bunch of baloney, you know. But when they tell you that their life has changed, that's very meaningful to me. And that's what I want to know. So in that sense, I am a good communicator. I have seen many people's lives change. They have told me specifically what has taken place. That's very satisfying to me, okay? If I'm just looking for praise, just this a lot of palaver, I don't want that. I want to know the truth.
Can you share with us some of the insights that you've learned over the years of asking for listener feedback?
The insight... I would say the most important one is don't let your wife do the critiquing until at least Monday. I found with Karen, I would say, I have to have just a little time to think I did very well before you tell me exactly how I did. Best thing that ever happened to me with Karen is a great speaker. She's actually a better speaker than I am. But I found that when she began to speak that I could evaluate her, and it toned her evaluations down a little bit because she thought, if I say that, I may get it the next time. So we have a very good relationship, and she will be very honest with me. She, you know, I think you've preached that sermon too many times. I think you need to put it away and preach some other sermons now for a while because you're relying on that too much, and it's getting old. It's only old to you because you've heard it a couple times. Well, it's beginning to be old to me, you're right, and I would just as soon stay home rather than hear it again. So I work on a new sermon. your spouse is going to be the hardest one to take it from. At least for me, it's been that way. So and now I'm to the place where I say, you know, she's probably my best critic of all, and she's the one who loves me the very most, and I can even take it from her now.
So that's a good insight. Indeed it is. So do you have our next session all planned, and what are we going to look at?
Well, I'm going to kind of reverse things, and I'm going to talk about critiquing someone else's sermon. Because ministers, when they hear other ministers speak at a conference or maybe they have a Sunday off, I think they're in a position where they can learn as they become the critiquer. And sometimes they can even be the one who trains preachers. I know in every congregation, if you get sick, you're going to have somebody on the staff preach in your behalf. And I think we ought to be training these Timothys all the time. And the best way to do that, I've worked with many ministers, critiqued their sermons, done it for, you know, foundations have hired me to do this. And I think I've gotten good at that. So I want to share some of those thoughts.
Very good. We invite you to join us as we have another SermonCoach.com podcast. As always, we invite you to visit our website, sermoncoach.com. That's sermon-coach.com. We have resources there for pastors, and our desire is to help pastors preach effective, life-transforming sermons and also develop good services that will be meaningful to the people in their congregations, services that are well-planned and that relate to what the sermon topic is for that day. So come back and join us for the next SermonCoach.com podcast.